Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we examine the book of 1 Thessalonians and learn about turning the world upside down. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in the Word of God. We've called this little series of podcasts, Turning the World Upside Down. I hope that you're making a difference in your world. I hope that others that would honestly assess your influence would say, wow, things are different around here because of the influence of, and then your name would be in that blank, because we are to be agents of change in our respective fields. We are to be. That's what salt does. It changes the nature of the meat. That's what light does. It changes the nature of the room. So we want to be salt, light. We want to be agents of change. And one of the primary ways by which we do that is to love effectively. We've been talking about that genuine agape love of God. It's something that we know because the Holy Spirit of God is prompting us. It's something we do. It's an active expression of that love. It's something in which we can grow. So we've talked all about this already. And so, Phil, today we promised our listeners last episode that we would talk about some enemies of the practical application of love. So why don't you read the verse for us right there in verse, which verse is it there? Verse
11.
11. Yeah, read that for us.
And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you.
And then I would even include verse 12, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without and that you might have lack of nothing. So what do these verses have to do with loving people? Because when I first read them, I thought, these verses seem like a non sequitur. In other words, it doesn't seem as if it logically follows the conversation. And yet we have to attach it to the conversation about love because it begins with a conjunction. And we know the function of a conjunction is to coordinate words and phrases and clauses. So watch what it says in verse 11 again, and that you study to be quiet. So in verse 10, that we would increase more and more in love, and that you would so the thought continues. So to study to be quiet, what does that have to do with love? Well, anytime I study the Bible, Phil, I don't know about you, but I try to read it and reread it. Do you do that when you study the Bible? I just try to saturate myself.
I do that just because I'm a bad reader. I got to read it a couple times just to understand what I'm reading. You know, I'm like a squirrel trying to cross the road sometimes, and I got to focus in and I got to read it and reread it. But I am saturating my mind and my heart. But as I read it a couple times, and really, you just, I read it a couple times and joking about getting the context. But really, as you read it a couple times, the Spirit of God can move in that still small voice of God.
Don't you love the transparency and honesty on this podcast, my friends? But yeah, reading and rereading. But then I would say this, as you read your Bible, pay attention to the way God says it, the grammar. Just give it some thought, even things like paying attention to conjunctions. I say pay attention to the verb. Pay attention, who's doing what? What's the action? Just take some time, slow down in your Bible reading, think through. But another great piece of advice maybe I could pass along about Bible study, Bible understanding, hermeneutics, it's just a fancy word that means the science of Bible interpretation, is simply to make sure that you're understanding the words that are being used. So I happen to read the King James here, and in the King James, sometimes you use some older words that aren't as readily used today, and even if they are readily used, they might be used in a different context. So when we look at the admonition here in verse 11, and that you study to be quiet, when I think of study in the Bible, I think of books and, you know, notepads and research papers. And when I think about quiet, I think about a library and some stodgy librarian saying, shh, right? But that's not what these words mean here. What these words mean here is study in the Bible means to make every effort. Spudazzo, study, to make every effort. So strive to. So to study, to be quiet. The word quiet here means to be restful, to be free from frenetic activity. So it's almost an oxymoron the way it's stated. So try hard to be restful. Work at not working. It's almost an oxymoron, but all of you that are busy bees, all of you that are workaholics out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. And that is, sometimes it's hard work to be still, to spend that time. So how would this connect with love in verses 9 and 10? Give me a, Phil's giving me that, don't ask me this question online. So I'm going to throw it at you, Phil.
Go ahead.
Okay, just throw it. What's your initial thought?
Well, a verse does come to mind when it talks about when your neighbor's in adversity, to withdraw your foot from his house. We don't have to run and try and fix everything. We don't always have to touch it to make it better. And sometimes if we're going to love our brethren, it's okay just to be available, not to actually have to do and fix it and just always say, this is what you're supposed to do. Let me give you some great truth. Just be available.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to say, because that was a great answer. Okay, but here's what I'm going to say. You gave the right answer, but you gave the right answer to the wrong question.
Okay.
Because we're going to talk about exactly that comment here on the next one. So I want you to come back to that exact same answer, because it's right. You just put it under number two, and number one should be under number two. Okay? Study to be quiet. Work at being free from frenetic activity. Think about this. When I love, when I have a desire to serve, then I need to be careful to guard that, because if I don't, I'm going to adopt in my life what I'll call the Martha syndrome. I'm going to be cumbered about much doing. So in any loving environment where love is due, because love is due, remember we learned that last episode, then I'm going to be doing, and I'm not going to be spending time with. I'm always doing for, and I'm never spending time with. But Martha, Mary hath chosen that better part. It's not going to be taken away from her. So in a loving environment, sometimes you'll focus on people that you want to serve, and you'll serve them, but you won't spend time with them. It's the housewife that has to have everything done just right, the house just so, but she can't spend time with kids or with her husband or with, because, and I know that sounds like a dated illustration. Today we've got, you know, husbands that do the housekeeping and kids, I get that. But the point is, regardless of what your job is, and so don't judge me, whatever your job is, sometimes we do for and don't spend time with. It's the spouse that spends all the time working overtime because I'm doing this for the family, but never spending time with the family. So we've got to study, make every effort, be intentional about that restfulness, because if we're not careful, love can spill over the edges in ways that we don't want it to.
I've loved the conversation that we've been having through 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And I know this is a podcast, but if it was on video, people would have seen the uh-oh about this. And they've also would have seen the light just go on for me. Mm. As we're talking about this and the understanding of that scripture, that's why I enjoy talking about scripture and talking about it, because the Holy Spirit just rings true. Hey, we could talk about things and yes, that is true. That is true. That is true. And that's so true right there. Study to be quiet. And I found myself serving and serving and serving and never being with those that I'm trying to serve. And that's great. I'm just really just blown away at that passage. And you know, you read through these things. And
so you're going to preach this on Sunday, aren't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll send you the audio. Let me know if it's all right. But it's great, you know, discussing the scriptures and digging into the scriptures. You read through these things so many times, you know, and in my own study, things will jump off the page at you as the Holy Spirit's teaching them. But man, that's awesome. As you jumped that off the page at me, that's great. I really do love that first part of verse number 11.
So let's come back then to your answer from the previous question where it says in verse 11, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business. So what would be another tendency in a loving environment? Well, one would be to do, and not spend time with. So we have to study to be quiet. But another one would be to unnecessarily and uninvited neb into someone else's business. I love you. Therefore, I'm gonna insert myself in your life uninvited. I love you, so I'm going to give you this counsel you didn't ask for. I love you, so I'm going to micromanage your life because I don't want you to hurt yourself. So in the name of love, sometimes we drive people away because we neb into their business. So the guard then is, hey, do your own business. Look inward first. We would say today, hey, mind your own business. That's not to say that we shouldn't offer counsel or help when needed. That's to say that we need to be careful about doing that proactively without invitation.
One of the things I've learned as a parent is I'm trying to get my kids to be independent. My oldest is starting to drive, and you teach them to drive and you teach them to be careful, and you're teaching your children to become independent. But in God's economy and in the family of God, as we grow, we become more dependent on God. And when we don't apply verse number 11 and we don't do our own business, we're not allowing our brothers and sisters in Christ to grow more dependent on God. We still want them to be dependent on our counsel and our fix, and they're really not trusting their Heavenly Father.
That's another great insight because, right, by enabling them, we're causing ourselves to be the help instead of allowing them to go to God for that help. So love needs to study to be quiet if it's going to be effective in its application. Love needs to do its own business because we want to make sure that the greatest love I can express to somebody is not to welfare them, but to help them to become, as you said, more mature and dependent upon their God. And then the third one, I think, is akin to that, because it says, study to be quiet, to do your own business, and then to work with your own hands. So in a loving environment, now think about this for a moment. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to think about it for a moment because we're out of time. I'm going to do a Nancy Drew, Hardy Boys cliffhanger, my friends. We're going to take you right up to the edge here, and you're going to have to come back tomorrow, next episode, to figure out what does working with your own hands. So, Phil, you've got a while to think about this. What does working with your own hands have to do with guarding the practice of love? We have a lot to chew on already, though, for today. I hope that you'll reach out today in some practical way and love somebody. I hope that you'll reflect the love of Christ to people around you that desperately need to see it. God bless you, my friends. Thanks for joining us again for yet another podcast.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.